This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Focus podcast. I'm your host, G. Sampath. The 17th edition of the Indian Premier League, or IPL, is seeing a rather unusual controversy this year. Indian fans have been booing and in some cases abusing a star player of the national team wherever he's gone to play. Hardik Pandya, the erstwhile captain of Gujarat Titans, has moved to Mumbai Indians and is now facing the ire of a huge section of fans. He is the skipper of Mumbai Indians, replacing Rohit Sharma, who led the team to the title 5 times in the last 10 years. Now, franchises chop and change their teams and captains all the time. It's part and parcel of club sport. And yet, Hardik Pandya has faced really hostile crowds at every venue he's played so far, including his home venue of Wankhede in Mumbai, so much so that there have been speculative media reports on some special arrangements for security at the Wankhede Stadium. So what explains this hostility? Is this a phenomenon of what some commentators have described as quote-unquote fan wars? Are we likely to see Rohit Sharma back as captain sometime soon? We look for answers to all these questions in this episode of In Focus, and we have with us Amol Karhatkar from the Hindu's Sports Bureau. Amol, welcome back to In Focus.
Always a pleasure, Sampath.
So Amol, Hardik Pandya was booed in Ahmedabad, which may be understandable because he left the Gujarat Titans to go to another club. But he was also booed in a neutral venue, which was Hyderabad, and again in his new home venue, which is Wankhede. So how unusual is this kind of a phenomenon in IPL, or for that matter, any club-based event or tournament in India?
Quite interesting, I would say, Sampath. As an opening thought, I feel this also reflects the changing landscape of Indian cricket. Okay, yes, a lot of us will feel that this is just not done because less than a week after the end of the IPL, the same Hardik Pandya, the same Rohit Sharma, the same Jasprit Bumrah are going to play together for India, and everyone will be cheering for Hardik Pandya then. Yes, they will be. But right now it's about IPL, and IPL is about creating regional or city-based loyalties. That objective seems to have been fully and firmly achieved. You talk to a cricket fan in his teens or in his early 20s, and I have been asked this question, oh, David Warner plays for Australia as well. I know him playing for Sunrisers. Okay, that's the way fans have identified with cricketers nowadays. And what happens, what has actually happened over the first week of IPL has kind of reaffirmed the connection between social media dissent and dissent in real life, in this case at least. Because ever since Mumbai Indians brought back Hardik Pandya in November and appointed him as captain in December, the Rohit Sharma loyalists, Rohit Sharma worshippers, were actually unfollowing Mumbai Indians from various social media platforms. Back then, it was being discussed whether it was bots or whether it was managed to create a social media sensation. Over the first fortnight of IPL, we have actually seen that people have taken offense, primarily for Rohit Sharma being replaced. Sadly, Hardik Pandya is facing the brunt of all the protests without any fault of his.
Right. So, it's very interesting you made this point about social media dissent migrating beyond social media. So, what has been the general understanding, forget the fans, okay, the expert understanding of this entire move to replace Rohit Sharma as Mumbai Indian captain? I mean, was it ever on the cards after the last IPL season, say 2023, where people saying, no, this guy has to go, we need a new captain? Or was it, I'm asking this as an outsider, was it done simply to accommodate Hardik Pandya's transfer from Gujarat Titans to Mumbai Indians? Because he's also a marquee player, he's been a captain. There are lots of brand-related issues, marketing issues involved. So what exactly has been going on with this whole captaincy thing here?
Right. I don't know about experts, but I can tell you my understanding of the situation, Sampath. It all started in June last year. soon after the IPL got over, because all of us should not forget. Yes, Rohit Sharma has been India's sensational captain. Rohit Sharma had a wonderful World Cup with the bat as well. But when it comes to IPL, post 2016, that's 7 editions, he has been below par of what Rohit Sharma, the batter, is expected to be. That 7 years is a long period. Mumbai Indians' last title came in 2020. Last year after the IPL got over, they had a title drought of 3 years, which is substantial. Never have they had that since they won their first IPL title in 2013. So, the Mumbai Indians management was seriously thinking about a succession plan, and they had devised the plan. That's when sometime in June 2023, I am told that Mumbai Indians management had a chat with Rohit Sharma. Okay, we don't know exactly what unfolded, but apparently he was told that they had started thinking on the succession. And apparently he may have told them to wait on it for a while. But once the owners tell you something, it's as good as being whatever, the writing is on the wall, right? They are just being courteous to seek your opinion. They are telling you what they are going to do. Since then, the World Cup came, there was a lot of miscommunication. Could it have been handled better? Yes, it could have been handled better. Should it have been handled better? Yes, no doubt it should have been handled better. But considering the full auction, the mega auction is next year, and Mumbai Indians were clearly looking at Hardik Pandya as the next leader for their own reasons. Okay. It was sensible enough for them to exploit the loophole in the rules and import him this year, rather than letting Hardik Pandya be a part of the full auction and then being unsure about whether you'll get his hold of his services or not. That's how it has panned out, as far as I know.
What is the loophole in the rules you're referring to?
So, Hardik Pandya's price, actual price, is not the same or less than his auction purse. Okay. So, for instance, Mumbai Indians, their auction purse was deducted by 15 crore for having gotten Hardik Pandya into its stables. But the actual amount is extremely high. Okay. Again, it is being speculated, so I can't reveal the figure because I am not sure. I haven't seen the document. But the rule says, official rule clearly says, that over and above that 15 crore, whatever is agreed between these two parties, 50% goes to the player and 50% goes to his previous franchise. That means if the deal is for 25 crore, 15 crore plus 5 crore goes to Hardik. So Hardik gets 20 crore and Gujarat Titans get 5 crore.
Okay.
And Mumbai Indians can spend as much as they want, but their auction purse was reduced only by 15 crore.
Okay. Okay. And this applies to every franchisee owner?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you said this could have been handled better. Like, how could this have been handled any differently or any better?
First and foremost, there should have, in an ideal world, even if Rohit had not gotten on board, like a typical corporate policy, right? When a CEO steps out of a big conglomerate, there is a statement issued wherein the CEO himself says, I'm moving on and I wish my successor all the best and blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's just to create public perception that everyone is on the same page. Here, the management made the announcement. The head coach quote was mentioned. The new captain's quote was mentioned. The previous captain, who has been the face of the franchise for 10 years, he had gone missing. That just indicated that, okay, not everything is right. Then his family members make some weird comments on social media.
Whose family members?
The previous captains. Rohit's wife reacted to a Mark Boucher interview. Mark Boucher is the head coach of Mumbai Indians. And she reacted to it saying there are lots of lies in there. Okay.
Okay.
So that just convoluted it. Thirdly, the onus was, I feel, rather than Hardik to reach out to Rohit. Okay. Or Rohit to reach out to Hardik. They may have discussed something behind the curtains. But Hardik told us before the season that he is yet to have a chat with Rohit or in this regard, right? These are all terrible optics, right? In an ideal world, Rohit should have come out with a statement, if not before the tournament started, at least after the tournament started, after Hardik started being heckled all over, to calm his fans down. Because fans don't have a problem with Hardik Pandya being MI captain. Fans have a problem with Rohit Sharma not being MI captain. And since it is Hardik that is in his place, and some of the loyal fans feel that Hardik made some derogatory comments about Mumbai Indians after going to Gujarat Titans. These are the two, three major reasons for them showing dissent at Hardik Pandya. But the primary reason is because Rohit is not captain, will boo whosoever is in his place. Okay. So the onus was on Rohit. The onus still is on Rohit. But why will he do it voluntarily? He should be asked to step in. Whether it has been done or not, I don't know.
Right. So, Amol, you had mentioned that, you know, the Mumbai Indians management wanted to replace him as captain. But what is the logic behind this? Is it that if you take away the captaincy, the pressure on his batting will come down and he will play better as a batsman? Or is there a doubt over his captaincy skills? Because he's not just the captain of Mumbai Indians. He's been leading the Indian team fairly successfully. So, as far as the captaincy skills are concerned, there is no question over Rohit Sharma. So what is the logic in wanting to have him replaced? Maybe there is something else which has not been working.
There is no doubt about Rohit Sharma's captaincy credentials. But IPL is out and out business proposition. The franchisee is thinking about the next full cycle. Rohit Sharma will be too old. Rohit Sharma is highly unlikely to last. See, this whole IPL auction cycle is 3-year cycle. So, the next full auction is before IPL 2025. So, 25, 26 and 27. If they have to have an established captain, okay, who will definitely be around, injuries permitting, that's not in anyone's hands, then they can revolve the squad around that captain. And that's why looking at the next 3-year cycle, Mumbai Indians thought it was imminent that the change was actually in place 1 year before so that they can try out various combinations and go in with the auction and the retention plan. Now, after the IPL is over, there'll be a lot of talk about how many players need to be retained, will be allowed to be retained before the auction. So, considering the future planning, it's actually a preemptive move. Rohit will either not be with Mumbai Indians or will not last the entire 3-year cycle. It's like when Sachin Tendulkar played his last 2 seasons under different captains for Mumbai Indians. In 2012, it was Harbhajan Singh. 2013, Ricky Ponting was brought in. Okay, because the management felt Rohit Sharma was not possibly ready. And Ricky Ponting had a terrible run of form. Midway through the tournament, the team was also losing. So, Ricky Ponting stepped down and Rohit Sharma was appointed as captain midway through the season. And from there on, they went on to win the season. Okay. That's how Rohit Sharma's era as captain of Mumbai Indians began. Here, they didn't want to take any such chance. They thought, now we have streamlined everything. We are thinking about future. From our perspective, from the management or ownership's perspective, Hardik Pandya is our next leader. We will do whatever we can to get him on board and see how it goes this season before the next big auction.
Right. Thank you for that, Amol. That's really, I think, quite informative and enlightening to understand how the thinking has been behind this entire move, which seems to have disturbed a lot of Rohit Sharma fans. Now, in cricketing terms, how would you assess Hardik Pandya's captaincy, you know, in Gujarat Titans and his captaincy so far in Mumbai Indians? Because the first 3 matches, they've all been a disaster for Mumbai Indians. They are losing matches which they should have won. Was it because of captaincy-related issues? There was some criticism about where he had placed himself in the batting order and so on. So, was it to do with some captaincy errors? Or was it just the initial niggles before he was able to settle into his role?
Right. So, Sampath, we see team sport, especially cricket, where is a sport where when a team wins, captain gets all the credit, and when a team does not do well or keeps being losing as a streak as such, the coaching staff gets all the blame. But thankfully, this year we have been balanced. So Hardik Pandya, like I said, Hardik Pandya won 3 titles with Mumbai Indians, went to Gujarat Titans as their face, was the captain in both the editions. They won one IPL, they lost the final in the other season. So he has come back as captain. It was understandable that he would come, if at all he had to come back, he would not take a demotion or pay hike. There are ego issues, simple as that, right? So when it comes to his captaincy right now, the first 3 matches had multiple mistakes. The team did not deliver as a flock. Surya Kumar Yadav was missing. So they had to actually fill in the gap with a relatively inexperienced domestic batter. Like you said, Hardik Pandya had announced before the season, I'll be the finisher. The problem was they already had too many finishers at their disposal. Tim David and Romario Sheffield, right? Jasprit Bumrah's usage, especially against Sunrisers when Mumbai Indians kept on conceding runs and runs. Jasprit Bumrah was held back for way too long. Yes, so he is also learning his tricks of the trade. Last 2 years, he had the cushion of Ashish Nehra more or less running the whole show from outside the boundary line. Here, it's going to be slightly different. In its 4th match against Delhi Capitals, Hardik Pandya was finally promoted to number 4 in the batting order. Yes, he did not. His strike rate was not even 120 or thereabouts. But he did spend some time at the crease, and most importantly, the team won. Right? Jasprit Bumrah bowled in the power plays. The Hardik Pandya, who had opened the bowling in the first 2 games, hasn't bowled in the last 2 games. Still not everything is hunky-dory. But at least, just like a typical Mumbai Indian season, wherein they struggle to have their combination in place at the start. That's been the convention. Against Delhi Capitals, it looks like the pieces of jigsaw have fallen into place. Whether it will lead to a consistent run or not is anybody's guess. Most importantly, if Hardik has to pacify the fans, the only plausible way is to do it by ensuring the team keeps on winning. And the next 2 games are against Royal Challengers Bangalore, which is again going to be about Virat Kohli versus Rohit Sharma. Again, Hardik Pandya may be sandwiched, followed by a game against Chennai Super Kings. So these 2 games will possibly decide the way Hardik Pandya continues to be treated for the remaining season, and where Mumbai Indians are headed towards when it comes to a possible go at qualifying for the playoffs.
Right. No, speaking of Pandya's captaincy, Amol, you mentioned that, you know, with Gujarat Titans, it was very easy because Ashish Nehra was there beyond the boundary. What exactly did you mean by that? Can you elaborate on that?
See, Ashish Nehra is a hands-on coach who actually planned the whole thing. There was a joke in our journalistic circles when Hardik's transfer was announced that if at all Mumbai Indians had to get someone from Gujarat Titans, it had to be Ashish Nehra, not Hardik Pandya. Okay, so Hardik Pandya is highly rated as an IPL coach. Okay.
You mean Ashish Nehra? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Ashish Nehra is the head coach of Gujarat Titans.
Okay.
Okay. And Hardik himself had admitted that it was Ashish Nehra who actually visualized what the squad will be and has actually ensured it. It was Ashish Nehra who got Hardik, Shubman Gill and Rashid Khan as their 3 key players and revolved the squad, built the squad around them and ensured that they delivered as it.
Okay, so now you mean he doesn't have that same kind of a support system of Ashish Nehra kind of a thing going on with Mumbai Indians. So he's a little bit on his own here. I have to rely on his own intelligence and thinking on his feet capabilities and so on.
Yes, one is that, and the other is he's still getting acquainted with the functioning style of Mark Boucher and all. He has, during his last stint with Mumbai Indians, Mark Boucher wasn't around as the head coach, or he wasn't a part of the coaching setup. So it takes time.
Right. So do you think Pandya would have been booed less if he had won maybe the first two of the three matches or something like that?
Quite possible. Quite possible. See, Mumbai Indians' first home match, okay, that was the real test on April 1. And over there, when he was batting, when he was hitting fours, there was no booing. But everywhere, every other occasion, at least five times was he booed. When the Wankhede also reacts, because Wankhede is indirectly Mumbai Indians' 12th man, the Wankhede crowd. Okay. If they also turn against Hardik Pandya, it is definitely going to affect not just himself, but the team. Okay. And when the crowd is not behind the team, behind the captain, the team actually gets confused. Everyone is trying it their best to say that it doesn't matter to us. We are a united bunch. We are focusing on what we can do and all. But it does affect ultimately. Wherever you go, if you are constantly thinking about how someone will react, then it's not the best place to be for a professional sports person in the middle of a tournament, right?
Right, right. Now, Amol, going back to the big picture, I mean, earlier you had mentioned briefly about, you know, how this entire fan behavior with regard to Hardik Pandya is a reflection of the changing nature, changing landscape of Indian cricket in some ways. So what are your thoughts on what some experts have referred to as fan wars? You know, I think Ravichandra Ashwin also made some kind of a comment on this kind of fan war behavior. Is this like unique to IPL so far as Indian club sport is concerned, or is there a migration of behavioral patterns from, say, the cinema fan culture or some other sport?
Yeah, cinema is quite an interesting comparison, Sampath. I would say it's a mix of cinema fans and footballization of IPL. Okay. And combining it with Indian psyche, it's trickled down to this. Anyway, on social media for the last few years, we have been seeing this Viratians versus Rohitians, actually using the kind of language that we will not even think about using for anyone, let alone cricketers that you are worshipping. Okay. It's simple. So, that has started filtering from online to offline. I don't know whether that's a worrying sign or an alarm as such, but that's just the way it is. The sooner fans are mature enough that ultimately whatever these guys are doing, they are playing it. They are playing the sport as profession. Okay. And as long as they are committed, as long as they don't do any hanky-panky, as long as they are not cheating, it should not ideally matter. Moreover, when it comes to IPL, it's also a reality check for IPL that even now, it's the individuals that are worshipped, not necessarily the teams or brands. So individual brands are far bigger than the teams that they represent. That's also a reality check, irrespective of whatever we talk about IPL having evolved into the most sought after property, which it has. But there is still a fairly long way to go when it comes to establishing teams as brands over individuals.
Right. I mean, that's a very revealing comment indeed. I mean, Amol, that's quite, I think, important point that, you know, it's even for all the big bucks extravaganza that IPL has become, the fan connect, the fan loyalty, you know, the fan intimacy even is not so much with the teams or the franchises, but with individual players. And is that connect with the individual players because of what they do in IPL, or is it because of what they do for the Indian national team? I mean, who is to say what is the driving force? I mean, if somebody who is just an IPL player and never plays for the Indian team, would he command the same kind of loyalties, do you think?
It's a very interesting situation. Possibly now that we have a set of IPL captains whose career kind of took off only after IPL had started getting established, So in that regard, possibly in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll be able to gauge this phenomenon better, Sampath. I'm not trying to deadbeat it, but it's simple. I don't have an answer right now, but I'll be as curious as you to actually explore where it is heading towards.
Right. One last question, Namol, before I let you go. So, speaking of all this fan wars, fan connect, and the management's approach to building a team around a particularly big name who's also marketable and a brand in himself, being able to light up the entire tournament. So, what exactly is at stake for a player, an ordinary player, in terms of money, in terms of branding, in terms of a lot of other things, whether or not he's the captain of a franchise? Is it like how big are the stakes for someone who's in a position where he may or may not be a captain for whatever team in the next IPL season? What's at stake?
Okay, number one is the profile rises. Number two, if someone is kind of on the fringes of India team, the chances of him being picked for India do increase if he is the IPL captain. Okay, that's the perception thing. Number three is obviously brand value. Nowadays, too many are aware that more than the TV ads or commercials, the primary source of revenue through endorsements is through social media. And if X or Y is an IPL captain, there is a huge leap in his social media following and his market rate. Okay. And it almost becomes at least 2x if someone becomes IPL captain. If the same guy ends up being the India captain, it's like icing on the cake for the market and the player himself. And number four, the security it leads to, not just financial, more importantly in terms of cricket. Because if you are the captain, you don't have to think about your place in the side. You have to figure out whether you can be a captain or you can be a leader as well. You have to think about others, but if at all, it's like leading a domestic side used to be considered as the first step for testing whether someone is good enough to lead India or not, right? Now, IPL has become that stepping stone, at least when it comes to limited overs formats. So if someone is considered as captaincy material for IPL, the player is bound to be taken way too seriously than he was previously by the whole cricketing ecosystem and the cricket market as well.
Right, that's a fascinating subject of conversation, Namol. Thank you so much. And I think we can close by noting that these are going to be really interesting times for Hardik Pandya. I think he has his task cut out, not just to keep winning, as you rightly put it, but also win over the Mumbai Indian fans and the Rohit Sharma fans too. I think it's a really interesting few weeks ahead. I think one should particularly be interested to watch how Hardik and Mumbai Indians navigate these little issues, these little niggles, as the team settles into place. Thank you so much, Amol, for joining me once again. Pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure, Sampath. Thank you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.